Well, impeached again. That's the headline being read around the world following yesterday's vote in the US House of Representatives. 10 Republicans voted to impeach President Donald Trump for incitement of insurrection. The process now heads to the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell reportedly remains undecided on whether to convict the president. For more now, I'm joined from Washington, D.C. by Julian Zelzer, Princeton Professor of Political History and analyst for CNN. Julian, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Just to start off with, 10 House Republicans voted in favour yesterday to impeach the president. What kind of reaction are those representatives facing from the GOP?
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of fallout. The Republican Party tends to be pretty rigid in terms of anyone who deviates from the party line. Obviously, President Trump's supporters are not happy. They'll see this as a betrayal. But I think some Republicans, still very few, but some Republicans felt that they had no option after what happened on January 6th.
A lot of focus, of course, is on Donald Trump. But what won't change from this impeachment when we look at the party itself?
The nature of the party, it's been radicalized. This is a party in the United States, the GOP, that is willing to go very far in pursuit of partisan power, that tends to ignore conventional norms of governing, and is willing to stress political institutions, as well as ally with very extremist groups. None of that goes away when President-elect Biden is inaugurated. This party has been changing over the decades. And it's the reason that they could have President Trump as their nominee in 2016 and maintain such strong support for him. So the party doesn't go away, and it won't change dramatically after he's finished.
In your view, how important is it for people to keep that in mind, not just to be focusing on what happened in the Oval Office, but also what's been going on in a generational sense on Capitol Hill?
It's very important. I think the problems with the Republican Party that are posed in terms of our ability to deal with big policy problems will remain front and center. And unless we see a generational shift in how the Republicans think about politics and negotiation and compromise, we're going to still be in this situation where it's very hard to move forward on many of the key issues of the day.
I was interested looking at an article that you're writing, Julian, talking about how polarized things had become. And you're even tracing right back to the 1980s to 1987, when what was known as the Fairness Doctrine, which covered the media, when that was abandoned. Can you tell us what sort of an effect you think that's had on media coverage and polarization within the party?
Yeah, that was a rule that our government had, which required radio stations and television stations to present both sides of any political issue. So it pushed them away from openly partisan news. Since the government abandoned that in 1987, you saw the explosion on radio and television of very, very partisan forms of journalism. And we are now in a period where most Americans get their news from sources that simply confirm what they want to hear. And so those are the voters who politicians are trying to respond to. And it's very hard to move them on issues if all they're hearing are from, you know, very political journalism.
If this polarization has been generational, will the removal of that, or the change that comes beyond that, will that also need to be generational, something we can't that can't be fixed very quickly?
Generational and institutional, meaning we'll need to see changes within the parties, more so in the GOP, I would say, than the Democratic Party, which remains much more traditional in its approach to politics. But you'll need institutional change. You'll need change in the way in which news is produced. You'll need change in the way in which we finance our systems. We need a period of government reform, not just generational change. Otherwise, this moment simply won't end.
Julian, I'll get you to take us through some of what's happening at the moment. More than 90% of the GOP caucus voted against impeachment. And to convict the president in the Senate, they'll need 17 Republicans to vote in favour. Is that impossible?
Not totally impossible. I think part of what's going to happen is the president will be seen as less of a threat once he's gone. You'll have more Republicans who will have their own self-interest to not only convict him, but probably to pass a measure saying he can't hold federal office again. I could imagine some of the numbers changing, not for virtuous reasons, but for self-interest. Still, it's a high hurdle. Again, as we even saw in the House, very few Republicans break from the party line. So it will take a lot of movement from Senator McConnell and others to get that number.
Well, let's look at Mitch McConnell. He hasn't ruled out voting for impeachment. How do you think he will go?
I still think he won't vote to convict, but Senator McConnell is mad about Georgia. By that I mean he's very angry that a very Republican state not only helped President-elect Biden win office, but lost him control of the Senate majority. And so I think he now is aware that President Trump is a liability to the party, or he sees it that way. That's the only reason he's even considering the possibility. Still, nonetheless, when the vote actually comes, I would still bet that he will stick to the party line.
An Axios poll taken on Tuesday reports that a majority of Republicans say they support the president's recent behavior and they would like him as a candidate in the future. Do you think his base will stick with him?
I think they will. Some of the enthusiasm might diminish when he's no longer a presence. You can already see that as he's lost his platform on Twitter and Facebook. But I think the fact that you have that poll number after an insurrection where members of Congress were under physical threat and the vice president, who is a Republican, shows you just how loyal their support is and just how difficult it will be to wean them away, not just from Trump, but from Trumpism.
The president has less than a week left in office. Is he still considered the leader of the party, or is someone else stepping up now that his social media presence and others have been diminished?
He's still the leader of the party. He's the most powerful figure in the GOP. And even though we're not hearing as much from him, there is no one yet who really can compete with him, other than maybe Senator McConnell. But he's a quiet figure. He works behind the scenes. So I think his standing remains intact, as does his power. He has a lot of power, a lot of authority in the next few days, and that's what leaves some members of Congress uneasy about how he'll use it.
What about the basic images of this? We heard yesterday that there are now more American troops on duty in Washington, D.C. than there are in Afghanistan and Iraq. How is that viewed by the American public?
It's terrible. I think this was an unsettling week, not just the actual invasion of Congress, but the fact that Washington, D.C. now looks like a military zone. It's always an armed city, but nothing like this. And you have National Guardsmen and women sleeping in the halls of the Capitol to protect members and protect the building. It's a sense, I think, for many in this country of really chaos and instability, and visible evidence of how bad things have gotten in the last few years.
What about on the other side of the aisle, Julian? What are the implications of the Senate trial beginning in the first days of the Biden presidency?
Well, it will pose a challenge for Democrats. It will take time away from the Senate at a moment in any presidency where the hope is to move forward with legislation. It will consume media discussion, not the kind of news that new presidents often hope for. That said, it can benefit Biden as well. I think the contrast between himself and a president twice impeached might give even more strength to the image he's promoted throughout the campaign of returning to normalcy, of returning to stability. And it might also help Democrats feel like there's been justice for the wrongdoing, which will alleviate some of the pressure that Biden will face to do something about the last 4 years.
As we're watching events unfold, particularly in the next week or so, what's the most important thing that you'll be watching and keeping an eye on?
Well, most important is the safety of everyone in Washington, Democrats, Republicans, that there is no more unrest, and that the security that has been put into that city is sufficient, and in state capitals, to ward off the threat of right-wing white extremists, which is a very real threat right now. That's the most important thing. And then obviously we're all watching to hear what is the message that President-elect Biden delivers in his inauguration? How does he kind of move from the moment we're in right now, as turbulent a week as I've seen in American history, toward a period where we can heal, not just politically, but from this horrible pandemic?
Is this a country that you recognize at the moment?
I still recognize it, and I still see in many parts of the country the strength and the virtues of this democracy. But what we have seen in Washington, even for a historian who has looked at some of the worst periods in this country, it's ugly. And that part of it is really not hard to recognize, but hard to digest that this all just happened.
Has the U.S. digested what's happening yet?
I don't think so. I mean, part of me feels that in a move-on culture where everything is so rapid and where things have gotten so out of control, not everyone is totally cognizant of just how unusual and disturbing last week's events were. This is not something that happens, and it happened. And it's going to be important. I think the impeachment was part of this, to really process the magnitude of how this whole last month unfolded, and how a president attempted to overturn an election culminating in a moment of violence. And I hope the impeachment's the beginning of really realizing what that all means and why so much needs to be fixed.
Julian Zelzer, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.